Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. This morning, we're going to talk about Billy Meier, the information he has regarding where the Oriental races in the world came from in the earth, how they got here. And it's a very interesting story I've touched on in the past. We're going to talk about some passages from his book called The Psyche, and it deals with learning to control our thoughts. And controlling our thoughts is such a huge, huge challenge in life. And I'm also going to, I think I'll start out with a little bit of a Billy Meier type of overview. It seems that giving the overview is just such a good way to get a good summary understanding. Edward Albert Meier is a man who is known to people of the world as Billy. He's in his late 70s. He lives in a tiny mountain village in Switzerland called Hinterschmidt-Rüti. I think he's about 78 years old now. Hinterschmidt-Rüti is about 52 minutes east of Zurich by automobile. And it's a kind of a remote place. It's very beautiful. Lots of trees and plants. If you ever see some of the films of Schmidt-Rüti in the summertime, in the August time frame, it's just incredibly beautiful. And that makes sense that he would be living there, because his writings talk about the incredible splendor of nature very much, and how we here on the earth do not understand the nature of creation and our relationship to it. I like to often start out with one of Billy's writings called How It All Began, which tells about Billy growing up in Bulach, Switzerland, which is also called Niederflachs. It's a municipality in Switzerland in the canton of Zurich, and there's a valley there called the Glatt Valley, which is very beautiful. Now, when young Billy was a young boy about 4 years old, one evening at about 3 a.m., he woke up and he crawled out a lower window in his bedroom, and he went outside and he looked up at a beautiful starry sky, and he had this deep epiphany, especially as a child. He actually heard his own voice say things, very profound things like, "My life is made out of the love of creation." And he also said, "Since ancient times, I've lived among the stars." And he knew what his life purpose was then. And he knew he had memories kind of come back into his awareness. It was a very overwhelming experience. One of the profound things from that writing called How It All Began, it goes like this. It says, "The infinite love of creation connects all life, and in all life that love lies hidden." And he talked about seeing the visible light, which came from the stars, but he discussed an invisible light, which he called the love of creation. So young Billy had this incredible epiphany at a very, very young age, and not too many people understood what he was talking about, except maybe the local pastor there, Pastor Rudolf Zimmerman, who was a pastor at a local church there in his town, Bulach. And Billy became friends with Pastor Zimmerman, and they developed a trust. You see, Pastor Zimmerman had telepathic messages from the extraterrestrials who were about to meet with Billy. And Pastor Zimmerman was put there intentionally as a kind of support system for young Edward. You see, We all have something called a spirit form that lives many, many lives. And these extraterrestrials knew that this incarnation was going to take place. And they knew that this young boy in Switzerland would have a very, very important life on the earth. In fact, they knew that spirit in that young boy had incarnated six times before in previous lifetimes on earth. And that each time he had one of these lifetimes, he had been a prophet and a teacher. So they were looking and waiting and there to help the lifetime, this lifetime of this young boy, who was going to be the seventh incarnation of this line of prophets that have been on the earth. Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. And now Edward Albert Meyer. So Billy started to get these telepathic messages from this man named Svoth. Now, Svoth was a human being, an extraterrestrial human, who was from a race of people that originally allowed themselves to be called the Pleiadians. And the Native Americans have talked about the Pleiadians, and you probably heard information about the Pleiadians before. And the star system that they allegedly lived in is some 420 light years away. But the true extraterrestrials lived beyond that star system. They lived in the general direction beyond that star system, some another 80 light years, and in a different space-time configuration. And so I've just touched on a whole plethora of topics there: reincarnation, the nature of our universe, different dimensions, a lot of very complicated things that I'll try to talk a little bit more in depth later, but I don't want to lose this overview picture. Svoth was from a race of beings that were originally called the Pleiadians, or allowed themselves to be called the Pleiadians. Years later, in 1995, they revealed their true identity as the Pleiaren. And they're some 80 light years beyond our Pleiades in a different space-time configuration. Now, our universe, our galaxy, has many different dimensions, space-time configurations. And these different dimensions have real physical planets and solar systems in them, and they're similar to our dimension. So these extraterrestrials reside in a slightly different dimension. Their world is called Era, and it's similar to the Earth in many, many ways. Similar to how the Earth was, say, 1,000 years ago, before the onslaught of industry, and before we polluted so many things, and before we let off so many nuclear bombs and destroyed our ozone and cut down our rainforests and did all the damage that we've done through this great overpopulation that we have. So Billy started to get these telepathic messages from Svoth. Billy's about 5 years old in this lifetime, and he's trying to get orientation on his life and reality and what's going on. And he started also to get these mental images of this man. So one day, Billy, he's 5 years old, he's doing just little boy stuff in his village here in Switzerland, and then he gets a message to go out into the forest and play, that he's going to have a meeting with Svoth. So Billy goes out into the forest, and I think he's looking down in a stream at some fish. And out of the sky comes a silvery pear-shaped craft, which lands. And Billy can see this man step out. And he has on what looks like a silvery diver suit. And Billy recognizes him as Svoth. And Svoth takes him up into the ship. And then the ship leaves the Earth, and they go up into a higher orbit, maybe 70,000 meters or something like that. And Sloth starts to tell Billy about his previous lives, that he's been Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad, and now Edward Albert Meyer. And he tells young Billy that he's going to be a prophet, and he's going to be a teacher, and he's going to bring a very important message to the earth, a very important universal teaching called the teaching of the spirit. And this teaching deals with what the human spirit is in each human being, what the universal consciousness is, that the superintelligence, which you could think of as the creator, although they don't call it a god the way our religions do. This teaching is also going to talk about reincarnation and how the spirit form lives many, many, many material lives. We live, actually, we reincarnate, according to Billy's book, The Psyche, for 42 million years. A spirit form reincarnates into a physical body. After that point, the body that it reincarnates into is half physical and half spiritual, and that's the sixth evolutionary step of humanity. In the final stage, we go back into a pure spirit form again, and then eventually we merge back with this universal consciousness. And this is, again, after many, many more millions of years. So the purpose of all of these reincarnations and all these lifetimes is to gather wisdom. And wisdom is a kind of knowledge that produces energy. And it's an energy that helps the whole universe, the whole creation, to evolve. So the best thing you can do for yourself and for those around you is to gather wisdom. Because the more wisdom you gather, also, the more true love that you will express. You see, wisdom and love go together. And the creation and its laws are love and wisdom at the same time. And these are the kind of things that Sloth taught young Billy during these meetings, which were on the spacecraft and during the telepathic meetings. So Sloth continued to tell Billy about what would happen in this lifetime, and that he would be a teacher here on Earth, that he would have this group in Switzerland, that eventually people would turn against him. There would be lots of controversy. There would also be attempts on his life. It would be much difficulty in his life. And Sloth explained that shortly, the United States would drop atomic bombs on the cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan, and that would mark the beginning of the age that we're in now. We're in a time that's called the third millennium, and there's about 800 years left in this, and it'll be a difficult transitionary period. Confusion and maliciousness will spread all over the earth. And we will have much difficulties in warfare. And we're starting to see some of these prophecies that the Meyer information talks about coming true. One of the great prophecies is of two civil wars in America. Now, you got to remember, prophecies are potential futures. They aren't guaranteed futures. These are things that could happen. And you can see the great, I don't know if I'd call it, we have a lot of upheaval in the United States. What's going on in Europe right now has also, Billy later in life also gave prophecies about this, about the hordes of people from Islamic countries coming into, for example, France. France is supposed to fall from this Islamic onslaught very shortly. We're also told that the religion of Christianity will fall as well. And many of these prophecies will take place when the last pope is taken out of Rome. There'll be no more pope in Rome. So that's a sign to watch for. But these are potential futures, not predictions. Billy talks about certain predictions, certain things that will happen, definitely happen. And they're usually written in more general terms about the corruption that we have and the complete focus on materialism. So there's a difference between predictions, which certainly will happen, and prophecies, which might happen. So Svoth was in the ship with young Billy and was explaining to him things that would happen, things that might happen. And a device was placed on Billy's head, which gave Billy the access to the wisdom of these predecessor personalities. You know, I talked about his other lifetimes. And Billy kind of had another incredible epiphany when he was on the ship. He started to see all these things that would happen in the future. And he was amazed by this information and kind of overwhelmed. The boy's only 5 years old at this point. So Svoth gave Billy more advice. He said, stay in the background. He said, other people will come forward and tell your story at the right times. So young Billy had 11 years of meetings with Svoth. You know, some were telepathic, some were face-to-face. And after 11 years, he was told that he would get a new teacher. And his new teacher would be a woman named Asket. And Billy was told when he was 16 years old, so I'm going to fast forward to Billy at 16 years old now. And he's told to go up on this hill in Switzerland and wait. And it's a cold, windy day, and then out of the sky eventually comes a craft which lands nearby. And Billy sees a hatch open, walks into the ship, and he can see there's no body in there. It's a robotic craft. And he was told by Svoth that his next teacher would be a woman named Asket. So there's no woman in there, so he decides just to get into the ship and sit down in the seat. And the craft just takes off. Immediately, the hatch shuts and it takes off at a high rate of speed. And suddenly, the craft starts to slowly become invisible. And Billy is moving at a high rate of speed. He doesn't feel any centrifugal force. He doesn't feel any wind. And he doesn't see a ship around him anymore. And then he becomes invisible. So this is an incredible ship, moving at a high rate of speed, totally cloaked in some way. Billy's invisible, the ship's invisible. And the ground is whisking beneath him at an incredible rate of speed. And Billy can see after a few minutes that they're approaching the Middle East. And the ship slowly comes down and it lands. And Billy steps out of the craft and he recognizes he's in a land called Jordan. And he can see red rocks, and he touches and feels an incredible heat. He feels this heat of the desert. You know, he's just been in Switzerland. So it's a big, big change. And the robotic craft leaves, and Billy's just left there. And he waits. And then he waits, and it's starting to become evening. And out of the sky, what comes, it looks like a falling star that's coming down. And he's amazed and he watches, and this star becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's actually a 300-foot disc which lands, and then nothing happens. He just sits there. And Billy waits for a half of an hour, and then out steps this striking woman that he, in his writings, later says, looks something like an angel. The way he would envision an angel to look. And later, Billy will talk about angels and demons and how he says they don't really exist per se. But he feels he knows her, and he doesn't know how, and he doesn't know why. And she introduces herself. Now, Asket is a woman. She's about 300 and some years old. Sfath had been nearly 1,000 years old before he died. Asket was from a race of people called the Timmers. Now, the Timmers are aware and associated with the Plearen. They both descend from another race of beings called the Lyrians. The Lyrians are from Lyra Vega. And not in the Lyra Vega in our space-time, but in another space-time configuration, again from another dimension. So Asket tells Billy to get into the ship, and they go off to Egypt. And I just wanted to tell you a little bit about Lyra Vega here for a minute, because the Timmers are descended from the Lyrians, as are the Plearen. And the Lyrian is a small constellation. It is one of 48 constellations listed by an astronomer called Ptolemy. Vega is the brightest star in Lyra. And I'm trying to get a distance here for you. I think right around 30 light years, most of these stars are from Earth in the constellation of Lyra. That's kind of a tangent. But in any case, Billy goes with Asket, and they leave Jordan, and they fly in her ship, her 300-foot disc, to Egypt, and they land in Egypt, and they get out of the ship, and Asket puts a device on Billy's belt and presses a button, and he becomes invisible. Now, she can still see him. He can still see her. She has the same kind of device on her belt, and presses a button on her belt, and she becomes invisible, but they can still see each other. Now, Asket is from a race of people called the Timmers. The Timmers now live in a parallel universe called the Tao universe. 46 trillion years ago, our universe was created in the Big Bang, and so was the Tao universe at the same time. The Timmers left our universe and found a way to penetrate into this other universe, where they now populate planets on that other universe. We'll pull all of that together. I know there's a lot of details. So Asket and Billy are together. They are in Egypt, and this is occurring in the late 1950s. They both have a special technology that's allowed them to be invisible to the people nearby. And now they walk over to the Great Pyramid. Now there's a tent near the Great Pyramid, and there are some local women in this tent, and they're half-dressed. And so Billy he's 16 years old, and he plays a little prank. He goes in there, and he kisses a few of these women. They can't see him. They're kind of shocked by all this. And he plays a little joke, and then he leaves the tent. And Asket and him move on, and there's some kind of... Asket has a technology that will take these giant stones in the Great Pyramid and change their molecular structure just temporarily and allow Billy and her to walk in to a certain area. And they go into this corridor, down this long corridor, far into the Giza Plateau. They walk a long time. It's extremely dark. And on the way down there, Aska tells Billy, we're heading to the headquarters of a group of extraterrestrials called the Giza Intelligences. The Giza Intelligences are kind of a ruthless group of people. They're very dangerous. They have been on the Earth for a long time. They've been hiding out. They influence Earth people and Earth leaders, particularly religions. And Aska explains to Billy, I'm going to take you down there and show you some things just so you can see with your own eyes what's been going on this planet. So after a long walk, they go down this long corridor. They finally come to another one of these, I guess you'd call them ashlars. They're very huge stones. And she has a technology that allows them to literally walk through this stone. The stone becomes not solid, let's say that. So, and then Aska and Billy are inside this great hallway. And it's amazing. Light comes from everywhere and yet nowhere. There's a giant extraterrestrial spacecraft in there along with smaller ships. There are guards around. And there is what looks like a cross, a crucifixion, a T-shaped cross. There is what looks like a crown of thorns. There's a nail there that's encrusted in blood. Yeah, he's shocked by all this. He doesn't know what to think. At this point, he's confused. He doesn't know to believe Aska or Sloth or what this is all about. So Aska decides to take him back to the opening that they originally came in. And they go back through this long corridor again. And when they're at the top, they walk back to her ship. And they get into the ship. And they leave. And Aska starts to explain to Billy who these Giza intelligences are. And she says that they can be traced back to ancient times on the earth, all the way back hundreds of thousands of years ago, really, to a king of wisdom who was not a spiritual man. He was intelligent in terms of the science, but not the spirituality. And they called him Eris the Barbarian. Eris the Barbarian was the one that stirred up the great war between Atlantis and Lemuria. Well, after the Great War and after literally centuries, many, many centuries, and the Earth recovered from this horrific disaster during the war between Atlantis and Lemuria, one of Eris's descendants, Eris the 11th, came back to the Earth. And he set up a dictatorship on Earth, and he ruled with an iron fist. He had a son named Jehave, who after a couple of centuries killed Eris the 11th and took over, and he also ruled with an iron fist. He was brutal. He was a dictator. And Jehave had a son, Jehovan, and then who killed his father in the same way. These were brutal, brutal dictators. They were extraterrestrials. I believe they came from a place called Beta Centauri, which is extremely far away. And then eventually, there was a man named Arisame, who was the son, I believe, of Jehovan. Arisame is the one that went under the Giza Plateau, and that's where the Giza intelligence is. Continued. Arisame was thrown out of power by his nephew, who was known as Hen. Now, the Meyer material says Hen was also called Jehovah and is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. I know that's a shocker. I'll let you decide what you think of that. The Meyer information explains that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by Jehovah / Hen, and part of its destruction was caused by small atomic weapons. Jehovah was thrown out of power, I believe, by a man named Comegall the First, and then Comegall the Second took over, and now we're these bloody ruthless rulers had lifespans that would bridge 500-600 years, and eventually their lifespans came shorter and shorter and shorter. Comegall the Second was the last of the Giza intelligence, the last of this line of leaders. While, I believe, during his rule is when the Giza intelligences interacted with the Nazis. There was, and the Thule Society in Germany, the Thule or the Thule Society was a secret society. It was a study group that studied ancient artifacts, studied Atlantis and Lemuria, and there was a man named Hermann Steinschneider who was in the Thule Society in Germany, and he heavily influenced Adolf Hitler. Well, this Steinschneider had contact with these Giza intelligences, and he was directed by them to push Hitler in a certain way, because the Giza intelligences wanted to establish this rulership, this dictatorship over the world, a new world order, we could call it that, if you'd like. They used a technology called telenotic impulses, which would influence people's thoughts. And it was kind of something that would very close to mind control. And Hitler, before he was impulsed by the Giza intelligences with these telenotic impulses, was actually a pretty good guy. And he was going to be a great leader. He was destined to be a great leader on the earth, and he was going to do great things for the people of the earth until he was pushed on the wrong path. In fact, the Pleiaron themselves had impulsed Hitler at a young age. And he was very intelligent, and he was a very good speaker, and he was going to be a great leader that would have done much good for the people of the earth. But these Giza intelligences, using the Thule Society, using this Hermann Steinschneider, eventually pushed Hitler into this kind of delusional state that he got into, that eventually led to the near utter destruction of Germany and tens of millions of people killed in Russia and in Europe, and hundreds of thousands and millions killed in the United States, in Japan. So that is how the Giza intelligences have been underground, kind of influencing the people of the earth. They've been pushed off the earth. They're gone. The ones that are still alive, I don't know that there are any still alive, but if there were a few alive that had fled into the Tao universe, and they're not here anymore. But these telenotic impulses still affect us and will affect us for the next 300 years. So, Billy met with Ascot for 11 years. And after their trip below the Great Pyramid, Billy decided he wanted to travel to the Middle East, see the Middle East, study the religions of the world. And he ended up in the Ashoka Ashram in India, and was studying Buddhism and other things, and he met a woman named Phobal Chang, who later became a UN diplomat. And it was very interesting because Ascot's ship would be seen hovering over the Ashoka Ashram at times when she was visiting Billy there. And she would be sometimes walking in the garden with Billy, speaking with Billy. And the gardeners there thought she was a goddess, or they didn't, you know, some of them didn't know she was an extraterrestrial woman. So this, these meetings went on for 11 years when Billy was in the Middle East as well. Eventually, Billy had the great accident where on the bus where he lost his left arm. And he was told by the extraterrestrials that this would happen. And this had to happen for some reason. It was one of the challenges that he had to deal with in this lifetime. So, and he went through a horrible period after he lost his left arm, and he did some stuff, I guess, that wasn't very good, and he doesn't even like to talk about it. But eventually he met his wife Calliope, and they kind of eloped together and got married, went to Switzerland, and then for the next 11 years, Billy just had a normal life, you could say. He had children, three kids. His marriage was troubled, and then it became even more troubled, and eventually they broke up because Billy's contact started again, and that was the one thing that Calliope could never kind of deal with, the extraterrestrial aspect of this. Billy started to meet with a Plearon woman named Semyase. And these contacts began right around 1975. And she would land her ship there in Switzerland and get out of the ship and walk right over to Billy. He would usually get a cooling sensation on his forehead just before a meeting was going to take place. And he would ride his moped out to somewhere remote, go off into the forest or whatever, hide his moped, and then the ship would land. And she would eventually come out of the craft and sit down and chat with him. And one of the most interesting discussions talks about the human spirit. And this is Contact Report 10. You know, Billy would, when these contacts started to happen, after he had these contacts, he would go back to his home there in Hinterschmidt-Ruti. He would sit down at his computer, and then he would get verbatim, the whole conversation would come back to him. And it was projected to him mentally from the onboard computer of the ship, where he would type out at 60 words a minute with one hand the exact word-for-word discussion that the two had. And he would type these out in German. And there are over 600 of these contact notes now that have been written out word-for-word. So in Contact Report 10 again, he started to talk about what they call the spiritual teachings. Their Semyase said, every human has within them a spirit that does not sleep, that does not die, that records everything that you do and all your impulsations, as they're called. She said the spirit is the bearer of the creative realm. And she said, if you've learned to pay attention to it, it will tell you when your thinking is right or wrong. The spirit, she said, is the wonder of all wonders. And those who are rich in spirit will become an instrument through which the creation reveals the spiritual realms. And Billy soaked all this in, and it really triggered things in him. Remember, we talked about his predecessor personalities, and he started to have this very deep and profound understanding, and Semyase started to connect dots for him in a very profound way. However, after about 200 of these contacts or so, maybe slightly less actually, there an accident occurred, and the contacts with Semyase had to be cut short. One day, Semyase had beamed down into the center there. Billy and the people, some of the people in Switzerland who had also seen the ships, and at least one of them had actually physically seen one of the extraterrestrials, started to help Billy, and they formed a group called FIGU, and they built a center there, and they eventually named it after Semyase, the Semyase Silver Star Center. Typically, all of Billy's meetings would be off-site, but for whatever reason, one day, Semyase had beamed actually into the center there and was discussing something with Billy in a room, and one of the other group members inadvertently came into the room and startled Semyase, and she fell and she hit her head on the table. One way or another, she beamed herself back to her ship, but she was very, very damaged. She slipped into a coma. Eventually, she was discovered and received treatment on, they had to take her back to her home world. And eventually, after months, she got a little bit better, and she came back and started having contacts with Billy again. She suffered a relapse, and then they took her actually into the Tao universe, where she's received treatment from a group of extraterrestrial called the Sonar. And in any sense, in any case, there will not be any more contacts with Semyase. It'll take her 70 years to completely recover from this injury. And this is one of the reasons Semyase fell, is because of the incredible sensitivity of the Pleiaren. And they're very highly, highly evolved. And they haven't had war for 50,000 years on their planet. And they've developed very sensitive telepathic abilities and telekinetic abilities. And they give off what you might consider a continuous stream of harmonious, balanced thinking. And literally, if you would come into contact with one, you would be mesmerized, you'd follow them like a puppy dog, and you'd just drop everything in your life to that degree. Well, conversely, as we are positively in some ways affected by their thoughts, they are extremely negatively affected by our thoughts. In fact, it causes them to lose control of their faculties, because our thinking has many, many problems with it. We're very unstable, we're compulsive, we have all kinds of unhealthy thoughts continually. And that's one of the important aspects of the spiritual teachings, is trying to gain control of these thoughts. We all literally sometimes live in our own little war zones. And they sense that. They sense our impulses, our vibrations. I don't even like that word. And literally it can cause them to feel physically ill. They lose control of themselves. So they have to wear kind of a technology that will allow them to be in our presence for like 30 minutes tops. Now, the exception to that rule is Edward Albert Meyer, because of his spirit. His spirit is so ancient. In fact, they refer to his spirit form as an Oikodaimon. It's 9.6 billion years old. It's probably the oldest human spirit in the universe right now. And the reason for that is typically we, again, incarnate our spirit form for 42 million years into physical bodies. And there's five evolutionary steps. At the fifth stage, people can become what's called the King of Wisdom or the Ishwish. And a lot of the people that Billy is now having contact with are at that level. They're eventually, if they move into stage six, and they will, they'll lose the need for the physical body and they'll be half spiritual and half physical. and eventually go into the spiritual planes and eventually merge back with creation. Billy's spirit form is very ancient. And remember I said at the beginning of the show, they had been tracking the incarnations in the spirit form. And they knew it had incarnated on worlds in Lyra Vega some 22 million years ago. Well, it also had incarnated in another galaxy called the Lyren Galaxy even before then. And in fact, it had been all through the whole reincarnational cycles, all seven steps, and had come back down again to fulfill this mission, which it's done on other worlds and other places at other times. So, Semyase, and I was telling the story of Semyase, eventually had those contacts had to be cut short after about 150 or so. Since then, two Plaran men have stepped in since 75 until, 2016 now. Quetzal and Ptah, or Ta, have had contacts with Billy and have taught him many things as Billy has taught them things, because the longer he lives in the material, the more wisdom he gathers and the more he's influenced by these predecessor personalities. So one of the things that I wanted to cover briefly in this show, as I seem to have gone a little long on the other topics, is some of the information regarding Orientals on the Earth. You see, this is a huge topic to get into. When you talk about history from the aspect of the Maya information, we have to go very, very far back. So if you go back 5 billion years ago, the Earth formed as a solid planet. And we're one of the worlds on the outer spiral arms. So the Earth is actually a pretty fairly old planet. It's been around a long time. Now, about 9 to 12 million years ago, people started forming native Earth humans, let's call them that, on the Earth. When a planet is, let's say if we went back 5 billion years ago, there's no life on the Earth. And then after several centuries, we get very simple plant life. As there's a process which occurs. And planets, they develop plant life first, then animal life. And then we're talking over millions of years, many millions of years. And then animal life evolves higher and higher and higher until we get to the primate level, hundreds of millions of years. And then a certain category of primate level, primates become conscious. And those primates can be called Homo sapiens, Homo sapiens sapiens. So 9 to 12 million years ago, in the past, we started to get Homo sapiens sapiens first appearing on the Earth. Now, interestingly, there are on other worlds in our galaxy people. For example, I talked about Lyra Vega. Now, 22 million years ago, there were spacefaring civilizations in Lyra Vega. They had come here from another galaxy. The Lyrians conquered and colonized many different worlds. One of the worlds they visited was a planet called Kudra. On the complete other side of our galaxy, past the central sun, there's a central sun in our galaxy, far, far on the other side of the galaxy, is a planet called Kudra. Kudra had an older human race than native Earth humans. Native Earth humans are very young. Now, here's the catcher. There have been civilizations on the Earth for hundreds of thousands, even millions of years ago. The Earth was visited by extraterrestrials, extraterrestrial humans. Now, this planet called Kudra on the other side of our galaxy had people that we would call the Chinese or the Japanese races today, the Oriental races. The Kintons are the Chinese, the Dnieper are the Japanese. And they were very advanced enough for space travel. And they came to the Earth about 6 to 7 million years ago. Now, during that time, the Earth had a global ocean. Water covered the whole globe except for one continent. And in the northeastern area of this continent, these people from Kudra landed and settled. They had spacecraft. Now, they didn't know this, but their ships, the metals, were deteriorating and oxidizing because of the atmosphere of the Earth. And their ships got so had such trouble from the atmosphere of the Earth. You know, metals rust on the Earth from our oxygen, from our atmosphere. And their spacecrafts could not handle our atmosphere. So they couldn't leave the Earth. There was about, I forget how many came here, but they got stranded on the Earth. This is 6 or 7 million years ago, and they died. I think it was 38,000 people. Extraterrestrial humans from the other side of the galaxy. They were animal races. Okay. Around, if we go back to roughly, so those people died off. Now, the Lyrians were in Lyra Vega. Now, about 22 million years ago, they had visited Earth, the Lyrians. They didn't stay long. They left. They came back at about 389,000 years ago. And they did stay. About a 1 to 2 million of them did stay on the Earth. My understanding is they were much taller than us. They were also very, of course, extremely higher advanced. The Earth people were still mostly ape men. You know, 389,000 years ago, they still weren't that very evolved at all. These Lyrians committed certain crimes against their own laws when they were on the Earth at this time. And there were other Lyrians which came to the Earth and said, look, you guys have gotten completely out of line here. You've taken the evolution of these very primitive people and you've screwed it up forever. And the only way that we can rectify this situation is a certain group of you are going to have to die on Earth. And your spirit form will take part in the reincarnational patterns of Earth. And you'll reincarnate on Earth. And you'll be impulsed to help with the evolution of the Earth peoples and try to make amends. It was called a codex, kind of a agreement, so to speak. At about 150,000 years ago, a man named Pelagon came to the Earth. Now, Pelagon set up a civilization that thrived for thousands of years on the Earth. And he was what they call an Ishwish, a king of wisdom. He brought about 70,000 people to the earth. And they, I believe they were escaping from the Pleiaren world at this time. See, there is a lot of, the Lyrians were warlike, and they had their own problems. And they fought wars, and they would often send them their own people back, their own civilization back. So Pelagon came to the earth. He set up a civilization that lasted for quite a long time. He was very benevolent. He was a very benevolent leader. The native earth peoples looked up to him almost too much. They almost worshipped him. He always was oriented to the creational natural laws. He never presented himself as the creator of the universe. He was always benevolent to the earth people. But when he died, the leader that took over for him was not so benevolent. Anyway, there was a great world war. This ancient, really civilization of human beings destroyed themselves entirely. Some escaped off the earth. However, they came back to the earth during the time of Atlantis and Lemuria. That was about 130,000 years ago. And Atlant came to the earth and his wife Caryatide, and they settled on the earth, and they formed a giant city of Atlantis on this landmass that I believe existed between South America and Africa. And these were extraterrestrial peoples of Lyrian descent. I think they came here from Beta Centauri and from the Barnard Star. Another individual came here. The leader of Lemuria came here. Lemuria is also called Mu. And this king, I think, was called Muras. And he developed Agartha Alpha and Agartha Beta in the area of the Gobi Desert, where we call the Gobi Desert today. There were also underground cities that were connected. Agartha Alpha and Agartha Beta were connected by a tunnel system. Above Agartha Alpha and Agartha Beta was the city of Lemuria. Anyway, great war broke out, and this whole civilization was destroyed, and the earth was knocked off its axis when an asteroid was brought to the earth and slammed into the earth. Before that great disaster, my understanding was that occurred 11,500 years ago. However, before that disaster occurred, and that disaster pretty much wiped out almost the entire population of the earth and also destroyed the ecosystem to a great degree. But before that happened, and this was during the time, my understanding is during the time of Atlantis and Lemuria, at about 25,000 years ago, the people from the Kentan and Niper races came to the earth and settled in what we call China and Japan. And this was about 15,000 years before the destruction of Atlantis and Lemuria. And I'm running out of time. And I'm sorry I haven't watched the time as well as I would have liked, but I'll try to get back to some more of this, hopefully maybe even tomorrow. I hope you've enjoyed this. This is from one of Billy's writings, Attacking Questions from Japan. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a good day.